Well, then let us sing again to God's praise, this time in Psalm 118. And while we are singing this psalm, as is customary, that the elements will be brought into the table, and you who are the Lord's people who wish to partake, please immediately make your way forward to the table, if you are those who love the Lord, while the singing is going on. So Psalm 118, and taking it up at verse 15, and we'll sing until the table is set, and all of you who are partaking will come across to the table. Psalm 118 at verse 15, dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody of joy and health. The Lord's right hand doth ever valiantly. The right hand of the mighty Lord exalted is in high. The right hand of the mighty Lord doth ever valiantly. 118 at 15, in dwellings of the righteous. We read our warrant for doing what we're doing today. And that is why it's important, friends, that whatever we do in worship, it should not be what pleases man. It is what pleases God. And what God sets out for us, and he has set out for us in his word, authority to do what we are doing. And for example, as we have it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, these familiar words, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And we notice there, of course, friends, that when he had given thanks, and we will seek to follow our blessed Saviour's example. Let us bow our heads and give thanks. O Lord, our God, we do pray that thou would bless us now here together, that thou would enable us to be what we ought to be, to realize what it is that we are about, and to be thankful. We have every reason to praise and to magnify thy name. What a privilege and honor thou hast bestowed upon us, that we can come in this way at this time, and that we can do so in faith. And we pray, most holy God, oh, that thou would make thyself known. It is the longing and the desire of all who love thee, that they were able to say that they met with thee at the table. That was good for them to be here. And we believe, O Lord, that thou wilt be here as thou hast promised. For thou art a God of promise, a covenant God indeed. And so we look to thee, we pray, that thou would bless what we are doing, and that thou would watch over us as we partake, and as we do remember the blessed Saviour's death. May we do so in faith, with thankfulness, and with overflowing love and joy in our hearts as well. Remember us each and every one. We thank thee for those who are visiting with us, and we pray thy blessing upon them. And pray, Lord, that thou would encourage them to go forward in thy strength from these days on. Remember us in mercy, love us freely, and take away sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. Just a few words before we partake at the table. Reading a few words as we have it in the Song of Solomon, the end of chapter 4. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into this garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. Here we have a picture, the end of chapter 4, a request from the church to Christ, her beloved. And there's an immediate response in chapter 5, verse 1. There. This is our desire, the church's desire. Let my beloved come. Have you prayed that day, this prayer today yourself? Is that your true desire here this morning? Let my beloved come. My friends, it will be vain for us to sit here today at the table even, unless he's here. Unless we desire him, unless we long for him for ourselves. And if you truly have asked that for yourself personally, you know what? He cannot stay away. He will make himself known to you. He will draw you to himself, and as it were, you can draw him in that sense to yourself as well. But it's for you, as an individual particularly, to discern his comforting and sweet presence with you this morning. He is here, friends. He is here. Not physically in the elements as some would have it, but he is here, nevertheless. And what we have here is this picture of a feast brought before us in Scripture. Feast of fat things, as Isaiah puts it. What is the feast for? Why are you here? Well, a feast is for nourishing our graces, to help us grow in love, to help us to grow in obedience to him, to strengthen our faith. Only then will we benefit from it. But notice also, only those already who have faith can have their faith strengthened. You need to have faith to have it strengthened. And who are at the table today with you? Well, as I said earlier, brothers and sisters in Christ. Some you may not know very well. Some you may not have met at all before. but they're the Lord's. They are precious to him. That is something that is precious to us, to share a table with the Lord's people. Friends, those beside you are professing to be lovers of Christ. Lovers of Christ. That is something that is true of all God's people. Those who are devoted to him. Those who are united to him, to be devoted to him. You know what else is true of the Christian? A Christian is one who cannot live now without Christ. My friend, if you say, well, I can live without him, the table is not your place. Can you think of a life now without Christ in it? Can you say, let my beloved come? Is that what you want today? Well, my friend, if that is so, eat and drink, as it were, deep draughts of his love and mercy as you partake. But of course, who else is here? Not just the church, but the elder brother. The one whom I said, whose absence would make the gathering meaningless. Meaningless. But he isn't absent. He is present here this morning. And what is true of how he sees you? Well, you can say today and speak with reverence, God is well pleased, Christ is well pleased with you today, Christian, that you're obeying his commandment, that you've done what he would have you to do. Oh, you say, you feel unworthy of him. You feel unworthy of him dying your death. You maybe feel, in a sense, even unfit to be here today. You know what, my friend? He would have, if you're a Christian today, he would have died for you and suffered for you, even if you were the only one in the whole world that needed to be saved. That's how much he loves and cares for you. So here the invitation is not from any minister or from any kirk session. It's from the master of the feast, your elder brother. Let my beloved come, garden, and he has come. So my friends, because you are beloved by him, partake with joy, with love, and with faith. After all, you are the fruit of his suffering and his finished work. You are the fruit of what we read about today, particularly in his suffering. You are also loved by him as you show forth your obedience to him, and as you bear his image. So he, with love in his heart, he says, eat, O friends, drink, and drink abundantly, O beloved. Friends, when we're partaking at the table, we're not just partaking and receiving something, we are receiving himself. There's a story told about a lady who was in hospital and she was dying. And next to her, in her next bed to her, was a Christian, an old Christian lady, true Christian. And the first one she sent for the priest and asked that he would come and give the sacrament to her. And he came, and he gave her the sacrament and he left. But she got no peace from it. And she said to the Christian lady in the next bed, ah, she said, I thought it would do me good. And the reply was from that lady, my dear, she said, you don't want it. you want himself. It's himself that you need. And it's himself who has promised to be here today. And is here today, I believe. So, my friends, let us then do as he would have us do. And we read that the scripture tells us that, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And we have the bread before us, and it is broken before us. This do in remembrance of me. That after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Drink abundantly, O beloved. So having now been obedient and partaken, as the Lord would have you do, friends, let's not forget what we have done. You are already one of the Lord's people. That's why you're at the table. But you are also, in a particular way, you are restating it clearly by being here today. And you are saying that you are indeed one of the Lord's people. You're reminding others and you're reminding yourself even. And that should be not just within these walls, but wherever you are found, that others would see that you have been with Jesus. You've bound yourself today again with those of a like mind. In that way you have the mark of the beloved upon you. And in being obedient to your beloved, as in the song here of Solomon, you now are saying that you are fully satisfied with Christ. Can you say that today? Of course you can. That you're fully satisfied with him as your Savior, as your beloved, as your Lord. But if that is so, friends, may I say to you now, live your life accordingly. Let no one doubt but that you are one of the Lord's people wherever you are found. Live the life that becomes one who has feasted with the Master at the table today. Be aware of your need of him anew. Be aware of your need to feed upon him and his word. Be at the means of grace. That is where he has promised to be. Oh, he might meet you. And he does meet with us in our own homes very often in different places. He might do. But the means of grace is where you have guaranteed that he will be there in the midst, not just in a Lord's table, but at the normal means of grace where the gospel is preached. Because after all, as the church, you are saying, let my beloved come. And he has responded, I am come. Into my garden, my sister, my spouse. So as you rise from the table now, with that determination, do so with that determination, I want to love him more, and I want to serve him better than I've ever done before. Wouldn't that be a good way to rise from the table today? Friends, dare we do anything less for such a wonderful, loving Saviour as we have. You've held in your hand the bread and the wine. You've partaken of the symbols of the broken body and the shed blood. Think upon him. Think upon him. Martin Luther said this: "It seems but as yesterday that Jesus died on the cross for me. It was fresh to him every day. It seems as if yesterday that Jesus died on the cross for me." Wouldn't that be good, friends, if we could say that as we go out back into the world in these coming days? But as we come, we pray. Now, concluding this part of the service, think about himself. And if you do, my friend, you cannot but have a thankful heart for what he has done for you. So then let us rise from the table, singing in Psalm 103, these verses that we usually sing, Psalm 103, and we'll sing verses 1 to 5. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee. 1 to 5. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord.
Soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. Be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. So my soul, the Lord, forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he has bestowed on thee. All thine iniquity soon does most graciously forgive, thy deceased doth he lend thee relief, doth redeem thy life that thou to mayst not go down, who thee with loving kindness doth tender mercies crown. With abundance of good things doth satisfy thy mouth, so that even as the eagle's wing reigneth is thy youth.
We stand to pray. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord. May we do so now, most holy God, truly being thankful for the opportunity that we've had to remember our Lord's death once again. May we never forget, gracious God, what was involved in our redemption, the way that we have been brought to newness of life, born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, we thank thee that this was a willing work, that he came to do, and that he fulfilled all that was required of him by the law. And we thank the Lord that he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And we look forward to the day when we shall see him face to face. What a day that will be for thy people. Oh, blessed Lord, keep us until that day when we will see Jesus and when we will enjoy through the endless ages of eternity and meditate in a way that we cannot now on what he has done for our souls. Bless us together. Keep us wise. Keep us holy. Keep us from sin. And the glory shall be thine in Christ. Amen.